everybody out there in comic book land. My name is George Serrano, aka The Don, and if you're listening to this, you can only be here for one reason, and that's for a brand new episode of the Major Issues Podcast, brought to you by Comic Book Click. And as you know, I am never alone, sir. Introduce yourself. Bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam. I am Claudius Maximus.
Wow, you got a whole musical introduction? I didn't get any of that.
It's not mine.
I feel you. You are in high spirits.
Yes.
And so am I. And hopefully everybody who's listening at home is in high spirits, because this episode is going to be all MCU.
Bow,
yes.
Bow,
the
bow.
Marvel Cinematic Universe. One of the greatest gifts that God's ever given us, especially giving us comic book fans, with these great films and the culmination seemingly of all these films. Infinity War dropped its... You want to say second trailer?
Yes.
2.5? Because they did a little
so beautiful.
They did a little Super Bowl trailer. So we'll say trailer 2.5. But the second full-length trailer to this film has been released. Thoughts?
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready either. We are seeing... We were able to, by the grace of... all things time and space,
yes.
We were able to review the first trailer that we saw right here on Major Issues. So, I mean, second trailer, second review, we're seeing more. We're seeing a lot more Wakanda.
A lot of people using their made-up names.
A lot of Peter. Peter's in this a lot, in this trailer a lot. So is Thanos. When we first saw Thanos, there was a lot of jokes about him looking like the guy from Pawn, you know.
Yeah, now what we got to say? We ain't got to say nothing now. We all scared.
Oh, he's in full.
I'm scared.
He's in full gear in this. We see him in full armored glory.
I'm very afraid.
How do you feel about Thanos now? You got like a better look at him?
I'm very afraid, and I'm very, very, very excited.
You know, when he put his, when he put one of the Infinity Stones into the gauntlet, I think I saw like arm hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Either that or they were like either like little like scars of scratches. But
he has skin texture and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty sure
never,
it was arm hair.
I never saw like Thanos' forearm before. Usually in the comics, like legit, he's covered. The only thing that's not covered are his eyes and his nose and his mouth. Everything else is covered in the comics. So to see that much skin on Thanos was a little bit weird, but man. Yeah, he is made up. Josh Brolin disappears and all that Mad Titan glory. We see a little bit more of Thor seeming to using more Odin force.
We're all going to die.
We are.
We're probably all going to die.
We got more from Black Panther. We see more from Black Widow.
Black Widow. Scarlet Witch.
They're all in here. And I think we can even piece together some things between the first trailer and the second trailer.
Except Ant-Man and Hawkeye.
Yeah, there's no Ant-Man and Hawkeye.
Don't worry,
conspicuous
guys.
By their absences.
I didn't forget about you guys.
Are Ant-Man and Hawkeye, if I'm not mistaken, Ant-Man and Wasp are confirmed for Infinity War?
Hopefully so is Carol Danvers.
Yeah, hopefully we get a little bit of Captain
Fingers crossed.
A little bit of Captain Marvel action. But man, like... when you see these scenes, these set pieces, it really reminds you how far we've come in the MCU and how we've gotten all these characters and now they're all together. It was a smart move to put a lot of Wakanda in those trailers because Black Panther is still taking off.
Yeah, Black Panther's still getting the burn, baby.
So it's almost like what they did with Wonder Woman. But I feel like DC went in to Justice League and moved things around and made it more Wonder Woman, where I feel like Marvel's not touching Infinity War. Infinity War's fine how it is, you know, and we'll see it when it comes out. I haven't heard any real kind of like bad on-set stories or backstage
or
news or any of that kind of stuff. Who knows? Maybe they're better at keeping that stuff quiet than WB is, but everything looks like it's all systems go. And what's more confident than moving up your your release date?
Right.
Right?
A whole week early, right?
Yeah. they moved it up. Like,
No.
These guys are ready.
Robert Downey Jr.
The Time Stone. It might have been Doctor Strange. You know, he got that Time Stone there. So.
Thanks, guys.
So, more speculation on the stones. That's what people came here for. It came for stone speculation.
Mm.
We see my man Thanos got the Power Stone and the Space Stone. Power Stone, last seen on Xandar, home of the Nova Corps.
He got to swing by Xandar, B.
He got to swing by Xandar. Nova Prime got it, don't she?
Yeah, Glenn Coast.
They got
so.
It on the lock and key. There's like armed guards and stuff. You think he sends his goons or you
think
he goes himself?
We all gonna die.
You think he goes himself? You think he sends his goons? We kind of got
to
see what Thanos is before
to
the
be
stones,
honest,
right?
To be honest, hopefully, I hope he goes himself because I see his goons getting real busy.
Yeah.
So, the Order, which they're calling them,
they
are called.
I also want it to be stated, or restated, because it was already stated, mm-hmm. that he's doing this because he's asked several people to do this, and no one's been able to get the job
so
done.
He's got to do it himself.
Which is what was said in Avengers, but it's been quite some time since that film, so I don't know if people are still tracking that he's on track to do this by himself. Mm-hmm. At this point, he has sent who? He sent Loki. For the Mind Stone, that didn't work. He sent Ronan Power Stone.
Maybe
that didn't
the
work.
Collector. Maybe the Collector.
I wouldn't be surprised if he knew the Collector. And the Collector knew of the stones. He's the one who tells the Guardians of the Galaxy about all the stones. So space looks like Loki got that. It looked like he put that in his pocket after leading Odin's vault in Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. So Loki obviously has a space stone, and it's a foregone conclusion that he gets the space stone. I've already said, and I'll state this again, that I believe that Loki is going to try to barter for, I guess, his life and life of the other Asgardians. You know, they have no home. Mm-hmm. And Thanos is going to accept, but then he's still going to kill Loki.
Or squeezes Thor's head like a grape.
Yes, this is true. But Thor can't die.
God, we're all going to die. You don't know we're all going to die.
We know that the Lord of Thunder eventually makes his way onto the ship of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So we know he was on a ship.
You think
at the end of Thor Ragnarok.
You think he's the first one that throws the hands with Thanos?
Yeah. But if the movie starts with that Asgardian ship being intercepted, right? Mm-hmm. I know there's a stone here, etc. Would you be upset if he already has the Power Stone? If they yada yada through that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah? You gotta see how he gets that?
Yep, definitely.
Not like I stopped by Xandar.
I gotta see those. Xandar in pieces.
So no exposition. No, this was easier to get than that Xandar.
Nope.
No,
none of that. I need Xandar to be blown up from its core.
Also, and you guys at home, let me know in case you guys know the answer. But they showed Xandar in Guardians, right?
Wait. Now that we say Xandar, I was watching the trailer and I really like how all the rubble and stuff looks. I was trying to pay like close attention and stuff, and I noticed how some of the ships look like the
Nova
joints
Corps
from
ships.
Yeah, the Nova
Those
Corps
star,
ships.
Star-shaped.
Yeah,
they look
kind of bigger, so I'm hoping they're kind of on like a destroyed or
yeah,
very
like the,
impacted.
Like the fleet came to try
exactly,
to do something,
yeah.
And
so I don't know. We're probably on a different planet. On the trailer, or
I mean,
we're still on Earth.
Nova Corps is not supposed to be nothing to mess
with. On the other
side
of Earth, so let's see what happens.
Nova Corps is not supposed
to
be nothing to mess with.
Ronan was giving him the business.
Yeah, Ronan did get you remember how many of them died?
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we get to phase two. But, we got geniuses bumping into each other. You know, Tony's going to be seeing Peter. We got Shuri. Mm-hmm. Seems to be there. Bruce Banner. Are you excited for all these geniuses getting together? Oh, the science family?
Save the world.
Save the cheerleader. Earth. Where's the cheerleader? Oh. You gotta save her first and then save the world. Yeah. Yes. All of it. I want all of it.
You have all of them.
Yeah. You got a lot of the science peeps.
All the science peeps. Oh,
hanging
man.
Out.
That's gonna be cool.
I can't wait till Shuri's like, what are those? That's gonna be really, 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 really cool. So I guess he just stops, gets that from the Asgardians. He already got the purple stone from Xandar. Where do you think he goes next? Do you think he goes straight to Earth? He wants that time stone?
I mean,
mind stone?
After a while, so he might take when he does take the one from Loki, I would assume he's just, after that, he's just going to put it on the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And then
he'll be able to
effectively, I guess, jump now. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Through the portals and stuff. He's got the space stone now.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing after that, he just shows up on Earth like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? You got some stones for me?
I mean, it would be really cool if that was like his first time doing it. Like, I wonder if, I'm on Earth. Tony seems to be asking some questions about Thanos. I don't know if that's in the same scene. Gamora explaining Thanos and Tony asking about him. But, I mean, this movie is going to mean... The movie and the events of the movie are going to mean different things to different people. But it's weird, right? Like, Civil War was splitting up of Captain America and Iron Man. And, you know, they even ended up having amassing their own teams. And they have different principles. With this coming, this is kind of sort of everything Captain America has been waiting for, right? Like, right. He has been built for this, literally. Like, literally built for this war to defend Earth, America, whatever, his team, his family, his people, against any enemy, foreign or domestic or extraterrestrial. And in the same way that it's everything that Captain America has been built for, it's everything that Tony Stark has been fearing. Mm-hmm. Literally the thing that he has been terrified of since the first plot to take over the world using the Infinity Stone, since Avenger 1. When he sees all those Chitauri ships and realizes how big space is, and if people want to come from space, Earth is right there like a sitting duck. And how is Tony not having nervous breakdowns throughout every scene that he's in? I don't know. How does he keep it together? This is something he can't outbuild. Right?
I mean, you would think it'd also be his motivation too, because he hasn't since. Well, I would think since he's had that vision.
Yeah.
You know, he's been building and building and building.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think, though, that the issue is, I think he goes that route, but then comes Iron Man 3, which we'll get to in a bit.
Right, right, right.
And I think he does end up chilling. Like, he ends up, maybe...
He's smart. I mean, he's smart enough to where a point where, you know what, I'm going to blow up these suits. I'm going to probably end up making new ones anyway that are probably going to dwarf these, so whatever.
I mean, he's got a space suit.
I was probably going to do it anyway.
Yeah, he's got a space suit. He's got a bunch of... So. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a bunch of upgrades. But maybe, just maybe, he is going to be caught off guard. Not that technologically he will, because I think he literally has everything for everything. Zombie apocalypse comes, Tony Stark has a suit for it. But I wonder, because the last he heard of these Infinity Stones and space was Thor, right? Thor is going, I'm going to go check on that. Yeah. I'll let you guys know what's going on. And Thor hasn't been back, you know? So Tony's gonna be like,
so in Tony's mind,
that's everything's
fishy already.
Still on ice.
So
yeah, like, everything is like when I hear
screw
about
it, I'm just gonna get ready for what I know what's coming. And
in the meantime, he's getting calls from 15-year-old Peter Parker saying, "Hey, do you need any help? Do you need any help? You need any help?" So I can see a world in which Tony's not really thinking about this. He has his guards up in the sense that he will never be caught with his pants down. But my man's been living a life. He got engaged, you know, and he. I can see him just, like, trying to be everywhere at once. Like, they're fighting in Wakanda, and there's something in space, and Peter needs help. I made him a suit, and I need to go, and where's Rhodey? And I really want to see what that does to him. Same thing with Cap. Like, I want to see Cap defend some of the people he was against in Civil War, because we knew that it wasn't personal, you know? Like, he would lay down his life for anybody that wasn't on his team, Rhodey or Vision or Black Panther, like he wouldn't care. Spider-Man, and I want to see.
I don't know if I'm Cap. I'm not laying down for Vision.
He's kind of a robot. I wonder how he feels about Vision. I mean, Vision is legit like the most loyal Tony Stark member of the thing, because that's his daddy. And speaking of Vision, trapped on that man's forehead is the Mind Stone. How do you think he gets that? Do you think he gets that? Is it a foregone conclusion that he gets that?
I'm just going to just like say he gets them all.
In this
just
film?
Just one by one. When he gets them all, I want to see what's going to happen then.
What do you think is the last one?
So, of course.
So?
Because the only one to have yet to be revealed, I mean.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's coming for it all. He's coming for every single stone. Every single stone that's
Vision,
out there.
You're a dead man. I'm sorry,
so,
bro. That's one they're giving away for free.
You think seeing him?
I think he's the dead man.
But Marvel,
they're giving that one away for free, bro.
I also feel like Marvel's the type, though, that would dangle that, right? Like, everything you see obviously ain't going to be what it is. I compare that to DC a little bit in that whole hype for the Justice League Suicide Squad. Like, legit, all the best moments were in those trailers. We saw Wonder Woman climb up with the shield. We saw, you know...
True.
You know, Do You Bleed? We saw it all. Like, they didn't give us Doomsday, the creation of Doomsday. Yeah, like, we got it all. Issue with You... All of it they gave us in the trailer. In this, I feel like there's so much more. I mean, look at Black Panther. The best moments are not in the trailer at all. Mm-hmm. To the point that they catch you off guard and you go, wow, I didn't even know the movie had that in there. But hopefully they can keep it up. Keep up the secrets. That's why we've decided here at Major Issues to watch it the day before the worldwide release. The day before that Friday showing. We're going on Thursday to be ahead of the spoilers, ahead of the surprises. I can't. I swear, I feel like I'm going to walk down the street and someone's going to be like, oh, this person dies. I'm stressed out, man. This movie means a whole lot to anyone who's been on this journey.
I'm just glad we got our tickets.
10 years. 10 years after the fact.
It broke Black Panther's record for pre-sale, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, we struggled to get tickets. We're here in New York City, where there's a theater every freaking 20 minutes, and hardly can find tickets to any of the major theaters, 4DX, IMAX, all that sold out in minutes. And it makes sense. This movie was $500 million, I believe, they used to make this film. And it looks like it. It looks like it. It looks gorgeous. It also seems to be taking place in three distinct locations, at least from the trailers. It looks like there is some space going on, some kind of like debris and stuff like that. New York, where we know that majority of our Avengers reside, as far as like Tony Stark, Peter Parker, Doctor Strange, etc. And then we have Wakanda, where it seems like a lot of the people who are kind of wanted for various reasons, they Cap's secret Avengers almost might show up over there, and that I'm ready for all of that. I'm all for all of that.
It looks
though like the roster is split between those three places. Yeah. Hopefully we get a group shot. Hopefully we get a moment with all these people. You've been saying that forever. You've been saying that we're going to get that moment with everyone on screen together. But this seems
just
like...
Just everybody doing their thing.
This seems like there's no way this can go wrong. And I know that sounds like... not even God
always,
can sink the
always,
Titanic. I know
always
it sounds
gonna go,
like...
Always going to go wrong. Because everybody's going...
You know... Oh! Let's not forget...
I'm going to pass out in the theater.
Let's not forget the shot of baby Gamora. We see, so it looks like we might be getting some flashback to Thanos, which might be really interesting to see a little bit of what it's like to grow up under the guidance of a Titan. And we heard a little bit from Nebula how abusive Thanos could be, at least to Nebula, right?
Yeah,
like
to Nebula.
He liked Gamora because Gamora had a lot of fighting prowess and was a very deadly combatant. And because Nebula wasn't, she got basically torn apart and used for parts until she can kind of sort of get close to beating her sister. So I wonder if they show any of that. I wonder if they go that route with that. As we know, Nebula is on her own. Nebula leaves in Guardians 2 to go find Thanos. I'm going to go find my father. And what do you think? Do you think she gets to him before he gets to anybody? Do you think she gets to him at all?
I don't know.
Does she get to him when he gets to Earth? Because she seems ready to go.
Yeah, she does seem ready to go. But then she finds Thanos and then what?
Hi, Dad.
You know, because he's gonna be end up running into, I guess, her friends.
Yes, the Guardians.
Yeah,
right. That seems to be what's going on there. I just can't wait to see everybody get together. Death predictions.
Oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there.
You gotta go there. Give me somebody you know is gonna die. Go there. Give me somebody you don't want to die.
Vision is gonna die.
Give me somebody you don't want to die. If you can only save one.
Oh, wow. If I can only save one.
Yeah. You can give one immunity.
Peter.
Spider-Man?
Peter.
Peter. One's going to die. One you don't want to die.
See, I call Spider-Man Peter on a first name basis because we know each other like that. So. But I got to stop because I'm on the chaos.
I think Hawkeye's dead.
Oh, crap.
And I would say
he got kids, man.
I mean, if I could save anybody, you know, it would be Captain America, but I have a feeling he might be on the way out, and Bucky might be getting ready to take that.
I don't want none of my mains to leave. I've done too much time with
him. Well, that's the thing. Like you said, we've spent a decade.
Selfishly, you know, even though I kind of feel like it's coming, but.
We have. We spent an entire decade with these characters, with these actors, with these stories.
I feel like it's not fair, but.
I mean, the gift of the MCU isn't fair, so I guess we have to take what we can and what we get.
I guess this time they're coming to collect. Oh, man.
But that was enough looking into the future. Now let's go back and look into the past. Let's look at a chunk of what the MCU gave us. We were able to sit here and go through MCU Phase 1. I was able to do that with Kevin Arner on this very show. We thought we'd take some time to go over MCU Phase 2, the films and stuff that took place in that phase, and how we're feeling about it 10 years later. I mean, it's 10 years after the fact, and you know you've seen these films a million times. So I'll go in chronological order, starting with the first film in MCU Phase 2, Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 released May 3rd, 2013, directed by Shane Black.
No.
Written by Shane Black and Drew Pearce. This is Iron Man 3. You know, you were kind of doing his theme song. This is the movie in which he gets his theme song for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Christmas Eve movie in which Tony Stark is world's torn apart when a formidable terrorist called the Mandarin shows up and embarks Tony Stark on a odyssey and a rebuilding and retribution. Basically,
ready for another lesson.
Yeah. Wow, we got the Mandarin in this. How did you feel about Iron Man 3? Especially compared to the other Iron Man. Remember, all these films take place after Avengers 1.
I like Iron Man 3, but it's somewhat also of a guilty pleasure of mine because of the terrible swerve.
Right. So you acknowledge that you still like it over... Even though it may not be your favorite?
Yes.
Okay. That's what you're trying to say?
Yes. Ah. This is true.
So you're not in favor of that swerve?
No, because I thought I was going to get the 10 rings and the magic.
The real Mandarin?
And I got...
You got Trevor.
I did get Trevor.
Trevor Slattery. Iron Man 3, main villain... seems to be the Mandarin.
Aldrich Killian.
But it ends up being Aldrich Killian. Aldrich Killian, head of AIM. I'm glad we got AIM. AIM's in the comics, right? We got AIM, Advanced Idea Mechanics. They are in the comics, and now they are in the MCU. We get the Iron Patriot in Iron Man 3. Noticeable with all its red, white, and blue glory. In the film, we're given the excuse that it's like a PR move. Like,
right.
To make people feel a little bit better about Iron Man, they made him red, white, and blue. In the comics, it's Norman Osborn who creates the Iron Patriot when he starts his own Avengers, but that's another story for another time. This also deals a lot with Tony not having suits and then building a bunch of suits and then blowing up those suits. But I think the main crux of Iron Man 3 is Tony Stark battling with his PTSD.
Yeah, from Avengers 1.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the more vulnerable Tony Stark that's having panic attacks?
I wasn't expecting that, but if they were going to do it with somebody, it should have been him. Because it makes the most sense. Because he got kind of stuck in between the wormhole.
Well, the thing is, he's somebody that thinks so logically.
How did you get out of the wormhole?
You can't. I feel like you can't build without logic, right? You have to know, you know, water on fire will put out the fire. So certain things in your mind are rules that are never to be broken, that don't break because, for the most part, science has these hard and fast rules. So when you say things like, oh, you know, there are no portals in the sky, and then a portal opens up and alien ships come through, you know, I can see him really battling hard against that. And we see, you know, one of his suits almost goes rogue and takes out Pepper in bed. You know, I thought that was kind of crazy.
Power down.
Yes, one of his automated suits. He ends up destroying all these suits. These are all suits that he can man or that can be autonomous, that he can use without being actually in the suits. He blows them all up at the end in a declaration of dedication.
What is it? The 4th of July protocol? What is it? The House Party Protocol. There
house
we go.
Party Protocol, which he probably should have done, you know, earlier in the film when he gave his address to the terrorist.
Yeah.
But... Does the house party protocol. They all blow up. He ends up wearing a nice fancy white suit with Pepper, getting the shrapnel removed from his heart, which means he no longer needs the arc reactor implanted in his chest, which was a kind of cool thing, like when he wore t-shirts, to see that like glow coming through. I thought that was pretty cool. And Iron Man 3 ends with him realizing that he doesn't need all these suits, or at least to be manning all these suits. And we kind of get the next step of that, the Iron Legion in Age of Ultron. But because that
I am Iron Man.
But that is Iron Man 3. Then, just a few months later, same year, 2013, November 8th, Thor: The Dark World, directed by Alan Taylor, written by Christopher Yost, Christopher Marcus, and Stephen McFeely. Marcus and McFeely, they are a writing duo. They also wrote Captain America: The Winter Soldier, which we'll get to in a minute. But Thor: The Dark World, the sequel to the first Thor movie, this one has more Natalie Portman, more Thor, more Loki. How do you feel about Thor: The Dark World?
Malekith, you are, well.
Yep, the main villain of that will be Malekith the Dark Elf, who is trying to plunge the world into more darkness. Apparently years ago he tried to do this, it wasn't working, so he sabotaged his whole army to all die, and he ran away. And he was awoken by the ether, reawakened by the ether, and Thor kind of has to deal with that. And you're also dealing with Loki being brought back to Asgard after the events of Avengers 1. He is basically a prisoner when the majority of this goes down, and Malekith is able to kill the mother of both Loki and Thor, causing the brothers to join together to take down Malekith.
See, that's why I was gonna have to catch myself, because I mean, that's exactly what he did. He got rid of Thor's mother and Loki's mother. Well, Thor and Loki's mother. And I feel like Malekith is a little bit underrated.
Malekith? I like the
people
actor.
He's got his hands dirty.
The actor underneath is Christopher Eccleston, who played one of the Doctor Who's. People actually credit that actor for the rebirth of that show, Doctor Who. And I thought he did good, but it's just with these, when you start talking about like Jutterheim and Fleischer,
it just
gets hard, you know. Like in this, Jane like just finds the Dark World. Remember, like she's like walking around and she finds it in like this abandoned building.
Like she walks through a door, and that's it.
Yeah, and next thing you know, she's in this whole Dark World. Finds out about the ether, and Thor is set to protect her. Like legit, the whole movie is about him protecting Jane. Even though he got Sif right there. Come on, bro, Sif. That's like your Amazon right there. What are you doing, Thor?
She down.
Were you always with this Jane and Thor thing? Did you like it?
At first, I was, but then it was the second movie that I was like, you know what? I'm over it. Well, not over it, but I'm always over her.
Oh, you mean the whole, what you guys call, magic, we call. Or whatever, like, what you guys call.
Science, you don't understand. I'm like, okay, whatever, Jane.
There's
and then
nine.
I'm just like,
give me your hand, girl. There's
I'm like,
nine, oh, realms.
Listen, oh, man.
You remember that? He's like, let me talk to you about these realms, girl. There's nine of them.
I'm getting the time.
I'm going to be king one day. Ready for that? This woman belongs as much here as a pig in a banquet. That's what Odin said when he saw Thor's shorty. He's like, why did you bring this heifer to Asgard? What is going on here? And remember they have like that futuristic X-ray. Like they were able to tell the ether because they went through her with their hands. Yeah. They're like, yeah, she's got a bunch of ether in her. But not to be confused with the incredible Jay-Z. Ether.
I was very much over her. So when I heard she asked for more money, I was like, yeah, let's get rid of her. She's not nice
gone.
Like that.
No,
get out of here.
No Jane in Ragnarok. Thor ends with a pretty creative battle between Malekith and Thor.
That was freaking fire.
Them going in and out of those portals and throughout the different realms
was
very
interesting. Following the hammer, too, was dope for that.
But just like Iron Man 3 ends with the, you know, Iron Man 3 ends with Iron Man deciding that he doesn't need all this and going forward with just mainly his one suit. Thor ends with Thor realizing that he is Asgard's main protector. He's Jane's and Earth's main protector, Midgard. And Loki takes the throne as Odin. Loki fakes his death in this film. Thor thinks he's lost his brother, and Loki takes the seat. And if you want to find out what happened after Loki took the seat from Odin, go listen to our Thor Ragnarok review, which we covered right here on Comic Book Click on the Major Issues podcast. Next up is my favorite, one of my favorites from this phase, Captain America: The Winter Soldier, April 4th, 2014, directed by the brilliantly talented Russo brothers who did Civil War and are doing Infinity War. These guys are incredible. This is the beginning, to me, of the real action of the MCU. And when I say action, I'm not talking about like lasers and stuff.
Right.
Watching Cap take out those people on that boat was amazing. Watching Cap
fight Bucky,
amazing.
Crazy, yeah. That
amazing.
Was
my... And you don't only get there with practice. You only get there with working on it. And the Russos, when they were directing this film, they had already said that they wanted to make things more practical. They wanted to use less special effects. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of explosions and stuff. You know, Bucky is the Terminator in this film. Just walking through it all. Just walking. Not an expression on his face. Reloading rocket launchers and shooting machine guns. And Cap is out of the suit majority of this movie. Yep. This movie. He's in khakis and a jacket. And he's still, you know, killing it. What I was thinking back about this movie and what I wanted to say about it. And I think one of the coolest moments of this film is them preparing for this first mission and the small talk. Like, Cap is preparing for this life or death mission in which he's going to find these guys from Hydra on this ship. And Black Widow's like, hey, have you talked to the girl, your neighbor or whatever? Like, that is so Captain America. Like, he's so polite that he will have this conversation with you. Even though it's probably not what we should be talking about, and it's probably not what's going on right now, but I'll update you. What does it hurt? What does it hurt? You know? But still doing like these very serious things, and they give that guy killer lines. Maybe it's just his ability to deliver them. But the whole thing of like, now this is an Avengers, but like, you know, he's no god I've ever seen. What was that?
I'm sure God doesn't. There's only one God, ma'am, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
Yeah. You know, like putting his foot down. Like, I dig that. In this, it was hey. Get your feet off the dash. Remember that? Put your feet down.
Oh yeah.
And she's still, and he's still like, this is somebody not else's car. Calm down.
Yeah.
And what happens? She does it. Yep. Because she believes Cap, and no one messes with Cap. When he tells you to do something, do it. Because he's not gonna tell you twice. And two, he doesn't really ask nothing from anybody. But this movie was the real fish out of water story, you know. Steve Rogers struggling to embrace his role in the modern world, and he teams up with Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. the Black Widow, to battle a powerful but shadowy enemy in the Winter Soldier in present-day Washington, D.C. I think the bigger thing that also takes place in this film is that Hydra takes over.
Yep.
Hydra defeats S.H.I.E.L.D. Hydra, the secret organization that's been hiding underneath S.H.I.E.L.D. this entire time, its tentacles arise and it strangles S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra, this evil organization, is shown to have always been in charge. So this movie is not only, I mean, beautifully and poetically, it is not only Captain America trying to find his way in this new world, but the entire world also changes.
Mm-hmm.
Once he kind of figured out, okay, I know what my role is in this new world, is to be the same thing I was before, a soldier fighting on the right side. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not the right side. Hydra.
Yep. So and you fighting them again.
So that was the first time of him going, wait a minute, is the side that I picked automatically the right side? And that, from that, this moment in this movie, going forward, that's all he's thinking.
That's all he's thinking about.
Am I on the right side? Am I doing the right thing? Are the people who I'm on the team with telling me all the information I need to know to trust them and know that I'm making the right choice? And this is the first time Captain America questions himself, because a soldier does what he has to do. A soldier does what he's told. But in this movie, more than the first Avenger, he becomes more than a soldier. And I loved it. Anything you want? I just gushed all over this movie. Anything you want to say?
Yeah. Another thing, when he fought Bucky at the end on the helicarrier.
And he puts the shield down. He's like, I'm not gonna hit you. And Bucky goes for it. Yep. Doom.
And he saves him too, so.
But that end of the line. And the look that they're able to give Bucky with just his eyes, mm-hmm. like the angry, kind of confused, why are you being nice to me?
Who are you?
Look, I thought it was amazing. But I know you. I thought it was really, really, really good. And to tell you the truth, this is the most fan I was of Black Widow. And that's counting Avengers yeah. 1. Maybe Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2, she really shows her stuff in that as well. That's when she's beating up everybody happy by yeah. himself.
She had, she had the first hallway scene.
Yeah, check that out. So, like, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, you know, we know these guys. We was ready, all excited. And then, a couple months after Winter Soldier drops, boom, August 1st, 2014, James Gunn directs Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Man. Did you know?
I didn't know. I didn't know what we were about to be blessed with.
Did you?
When Guardians
know?
Is about to come out.
Wow.
I knew I was gonna go see it.
Yes.
But damn.
It seemed like fun. I was ready to be educated about a bunch of characters I knew nothing about, mm-hmm. but I had no.
That was crazy. Yeah.
I had no expectations of how great this movie would be.
I had no idea what I was getting into when Guardians came out.
I'm talking about funny.
Yeah. As great far as the action. Comics went, I didn't. Yeah.
Funny, great action, great character, like really great character. When you're done with it, you have your favorites, and I pretty much like them all. But mm-hmm. you know, we didn't think much of Batista. You know, we are two wrestling fans, and Dave Batista, former WWE champion, gets cast in this as Drax the Destroyer and kills
it.
I was a huge fan. I've always been a huge fan of Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation, mm-hmm. and everything else moving forward. And I think he's a better Han Solo than young Han Solo. You know, I made the joke that why are they making a young Han Solo movie when you could just watch Guardians? It's the same thing. Zoe Saldana killing it as Gamora. Vin Diesel giving an Oscar-worthy performance saying, I am Groot. You know, Fast and the Furious. Coming off of Fast and the Furious, I want to say 5 maybe at the time. Where it's really ramping up, he's making this crazy money, and they say, I want you to be a tree, and all you gotta do is say, I am Groot. Everybody killed it, and then Bradley Cooper, you know.
Rocket.
From Hangover fame. He's Rocket Raccoon, and we get this story of Peter Quill, you know, who's a guy taken from Earth as a child. We see him basically join up with a ragtag group of extraterrestrials. I said terrestrials?
Terrestrials. Extraterrestrials.
He gets together with a bunch of ETs in order to take down Ronan the Accuser, who is the leader of the Kree army. The Kree, one half of the biggest space war known to man. Are you familiar with what the other half of that?
The
yes.
Skrulls.
Yes, it is the Skrulls, and we've yet to see the Skrulls. We might get the Skrulls in Captain Marvel. They're saying,
please, 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 please.
But man, Kree, that's big.
Yeah, that is
dropping
big.
The Kree. That's big. We also
dropping
get Nova Corps.
Kree.
We get Nova Corps in here. Big Thanos. This is the only movie that
has
Thanos
like 2 minutes of Thanos worthy stuff in it.
You know,
dude.
Where he's talking and like getting, like, I don't think he gets up, but
I
you
will
see him. And,
the stories in your
boy,
blood.
Don't play with me, boy. we get that booming voice. So how do you feel about the film? How do you feel about Ronan? How do you feel about Thanos? How do you feel about
fire? Because nobody expected that we were going to be getting Thanos in that movie either.
Yeah.
So to see him, I think everybody's mind got pushed back a little
yeah.
bit.
I mean, and this was also the introduction of Cosmic Marvel.
Yes, we were out in space.
Marvel has a ton of cosmic properties. Mm-hmm. Like when you talk about Captain Marvel, we were talking about from before, and who's homeboy with the gauntlets?
Wait, what you mean? What you mean?
Powered. He has powered gauntlets. He's in space. I can't believe. No, no. Nova. Nova's another huge thing. The Guardians of the Galaxy. Quasar.
Oh, okay.
Quasar.
Yeah,
Quasar.
Well,
Quasar. Quasar. Yes, that's who I was thinking of. Quasar with the quantum bands. I think he has on that gives him his power. So Marvel had to do this right. The same way they did that Tony opened the door for the MCU, Guardians opens the door for Cosmic Marvel that we are now taking advantage of with Guardians 2.
So now we're in
Captain
space.
Marvel, you know, hopefully Adam Warlock shows up, all that jazz. Yeah, I loved Guardians, and we'll gush a little bit more about that, but I want to get through all these films. May 1st, 2015, We get our second Avengers film, Avengers Age of Ultron, with the villain being Ultron. Joss Whedon of Avengers 1 fame wrote and direct that film. And it was the last Avengers film he would write and direct. Apparently, this film broke him.
We broke Joss Whedon, guys.
It caused the man to quit Twitter.
Jesus.
How do you feel about Avengers Age of Ultron?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it most than the average person that enjoyed it.
Yes.
To be honest.
Me, I'll shoot straight. Not a fan of Age of Ultron. I when I look at this list of films, it's probably like, if not last, second to last. Only because I feel like there's a bunch of characters, and unlike Civil War, when they spoke, it wasn't 100% them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the time, there wasn't enough time to give to everybody, and the time that they did give to everybody, you felt like those 5 minutes they give to Thor were the most Thor minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Right, okay.
Ever. Like, Peter doesn't get a lot of time in Civil War, but every minute he gets, he's Peter Parker to 100. So that even if he only said 3 lines, you know Peter Parker. I didn't get that in this. There was, like, the only thing of Thor in this is the dream sequence, and they have to do that away from everybody else. Iron Man has an Iron Legion, but he blew up all his suits. What's going on with that? And him and Pepper are talking. Are they not talking? Pepper, I don't think, is even in this film. There's Pepper's away.
She's just getting mentioned, yeah.
Yeah. Cap should have been talking to Tony about this whole Hydra was wilding out. I mean, in the beginning of the film, they're getting the scepter from Hydra, from Baron Von Strucker and stuff. But I don't know, man. You talked to me about an Avengers film. Civil War is the second Avengers film. You know, like, this was commercial.
I like Ultron.
I was not a fan of Ultron. Again, I was not a fan of Ultron. Too many jokes.
He was Tony's son.
I wanted Ultron to be what Bucky was, this quiet, menacing threat that was just going to keep coming. And
I see what you're saying. They should have at least made him more menacing, and at least if you're gonna joke, then make it at least less jokey. You know what I mean?
Well, what would a robot sense of humor be? Exactly, you understand what I'm saying? You know? So that thing. Another thing is they chose to make him expressive, which I felt was another problem. Mm-hmm. They made it so that his eyes can squint.
Yeah, it was real animated.
And that his mouth can do. Where if you just get that robot open, that open mouth you see when he's drawn, and those open eyes just glowing red, it's nothing scarier than that, you know? And that was my main beef with it. I'm not going to drag it down. I thought Hulkbuster was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, there's got to be more. Hulkbuster.
The Hulkbuster was good.
Right.
Wow, it's been a while since I.
The battle for Sokovia. I just came
from Wakanda, bro. Come on.
I ain't mad at you. But that goes to show, like, if you can't remember, then we can't start making things up.
Quicksilver.
He's all right, but the battle for Sokovia is right?
Yeah.
Claw. We get Claw in this film.
We do get Claw. And his arm gets chopped off.
And the first mention of Vibranium.
Yes.
And Wakanda. That's how Hulk, Bruce Banner says it in this.
And you get the first tease of the Infinity War, of the Civil War beef, too.
Well, this entire, the events of this film is what triggers Civil War. Sokovia, in general. Tony feeling guilty over building Ultron, ultimately trying to use it as a source of good and turns into something evil. So it definitely set a lot of the breadcrumbs that Civil War would then come and pick up. Any last feelings on Avengers Age of Ultron? How do you feel about the inclusion of characters like Scarlet Witch and Vision?
I like the way Vision came to life. And I also like the way they introduced the nice little between her and Bruce.
That's also a huge moment in that film. The creation of Vision, I'll put up there as one of the great moments of MCU, especially when he gives that whole speech and picks up the hammer. That's a really, really, really good moment I really liked. Tony and Steve getting at it again. They got out of Avengers 1, put on the suit. Mm-hmm. Here we're chopping wood, all angry.
Ripping trees.
Ripping trees in half. Groot's all confused. But the Avengers were able to still manage the threat. Ultron's gone, and that's the last we see of the Avengers in this phase, the final film being Ant-Man, which was released on July 17, 2015, 2 months after. Same, we're going to get the same thing this time, too, where Avengers comes out in May or April, and then 2 months after, we're getting Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I need to see Ant-Man some more, because out of all of the movies, Ant-Man is the one that I've seen the least.
The least, yep. Okay. Ant-Man, you know, dealing with Scott Lang, who is a ex-con. He manages to stumble upon the Ant-Man suit, which was built by Hank Pym. Hank Pym being the former Ant-Man. Scott Lang being an Ant-Man for a new generation, uses the suit to stop the evil
before
Yellow
he
Jacket.
Steals it and brings it back.
Yes. He stops the evil David Cross, who has created the Yellow Jacket suit. He's used David Cross has created his own version of the Ant-Man suit called the Yellow Jacket suit, the Yellow Jacket technology, and he's planning to sell it to any country that wants to use it for war. And Ant-Man and Hank Pym are doing their best to stop it. Ant-Man played by my man, Paul Rudd. I was amazed that they got him in the MCU. I was like, oh, wow, Parks and Rec. Look, here we go again. But Paul Rudd helped write this movie with Edgar Wright, Joe Cornish, and Adam McKay. Edgar Wright was supposed to be the director of that film, and it didn't work out all that well. Edgar Wright, known for his big creative, you know, that he's a very creative director, and apparently too creative because he kind of got booted early on in that film. But I think it still had a lot of his flair in it. One of the standouts is Luis, who does his best to summarize things in the most hilarious way possible, the villain was Yellow Jacket. Like I said again, David Cross.
I like the Yellow Jacket though. Yellow Jacket was fire.
Cool. And it was also pretty cool to watch them have a low stakes fight on the train set when they're all really small. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a good film. It didn't get me angry. It educated me on things I didn't know about.
Right.
We got to be introduced to Hope Van Dyne, the daughter. So there's that. Ant-Man, actually, just like Guardians, you know, it was the debut of a brand new hero, and everybody who comes with that universe
and
gets
bangs,
their first.
Yeah, we got introduced to the, what's that called? The Quantum Zone?
Yes, the Quantum Zone we were introduced to. And we also get to see early S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, with
Howard Stark is there.
Howard Stark, because
and we get to see the beef between the Starks and the Pyms.
And the Pyms.
Which, you know, those two technological bros have been going at it in the comics for quite some time, so it's cool to see that on the big screen. How'd you feel about them going with Scott Lang and not Hank Pym? But now you got an older Hank Pym kind of deal.
Lang is fit. Hank Pym is more of a geezer. Geezer Pym.
Yes.
Geezer Pym. Old
man. Are they going to do like an old man Logan with just Pym?
I don't know, but we did get a flashback, though, right?
Yeah, but he was in a suit. Mm-hmm. We got a flashback of the wife going subatomic. Yeah. Maybe she comes back in this film, in the next one.
See what happens.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. But yeah, I dug that. I dug that film, Ant-Man. And it was the closing of that phase. Mm-hmm. And phase three we're still in, and it's been amazing going forward. But that was phase two. You know, phase two takes place in a 2-year span between May 3rd, 2013 and July of 2015. The years 13 and 15 were very important to us. We were doing a bunch of stuff creatively during those years. I was out of the military those years, so I got to see each one of these films in America, which was a big deal.
I was out of my mind. But I had the MCU keeping me sane, so which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we couldn't get into deep dives with all these, but I would like to ask you some questions, sir, regarding the entire phase.
Oh, crap.
And I'm putting you on the spot. You haven't heard any of these questions yet. So I will answer you these questions as well. I have not given them much thought, so my answers are going to be off the cuff as well. But phase two, what's your favorite film? We have Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Cap 2. Guardians, Avengers 2, and Ant-Man.
Avengers 2.
Is your favorite film?
Yeah. Is it? It'll be number one as a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
And then comes Iron Man 3, just for honorable mention.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy to hit that, put that over Cap 2. I want to put Cap number 1 so bad.
Well, that's not even it.
It's the guilty, because it's the guilty pleasures.
To me, my favorite film is Winter Soldier. On any given day, Winter Soldier and Guardians could be number 1 in this phase.
To me, I think the most comic book movie would be Ant-Man.
Ant-Man?
Ant-Man or Guardians, but I'm still going to stick with Ant-Man.
My 1 and 2 are Guardians and Winter Soldier. Any given day. I love Cap, so that's going to... Cap has that.
Right.
But Guardians is really, really good. I really love Guardians. Like, I'm talking about Guardians makes top 3 in both phases for me.
Okay.
Just because of what it did. Like, that moment that... Peter, give me your hand. That all that. Oh, amazing. And I have the soundtrack, so, you know. Okay. Best villain out of the phase. You got, just Killian and the Mandarin. You got Malekith, the Winter Soldier, and Hydra. Ronin, Ultron.
The writers for Iron Man 3.
The writers for Iron Man 3 were the biggest villains? Are you saying Pepper Potts is the biggest villain? For?
I'm saying... All right, so we know. What we got...
Yeah, you got Ultron, Hydra, Yellow Jacket, Ronin, Malekith, Aldrich, Killian. I think I'd have
Ronin.
To go.
Ronin catches it.
Ronin is your favorite villain?
Ronin.
I'll give Ronin
even
some
though
points.
I did want more Ronin though.
I will give Ronin some points. I was having this discussion actually at work earlier, I want to say last week, where I was saying like Ronin stepped to Thanos.
Yeah, he did step to Thanos, but that was after he got the Infinity Stone, after he thought he was tough.
But the thing is that we saw Loki with an Infinity Stone and he didn't try to double cross Thanos. Maybe he's smarter. But the fact that Ronan did that, that's big. You
that's
know.
True. That was I mean, huge. He did kind of try to do it via satellite, so
yeah, but he
whatever.
Kills, he also kills one of Thanos's henchmen.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Ronan's
out there. And he kills him in front of Thanos.
Yeah. That's what makes Thanos turn around.
Oh, crap.
Another thing about Ronin. Remember, Ronin's entire goal.
You're more gangster than I thought, Ronin. There you go.
Ronin's entire goal in Guardians is to touch Xandar.
Mm-hmm.
To get his feet on Xandar. Because once he does that, if he's able to strike it with his hammer, the entire planet blows up. Mm-hmm. So the entire third act is to stop him just from landing. We don't even want him to touch the planet. And that, to me, says villain. Top villain. I'm going to go with Hydra and the Winter Soldier only because I thought it was incredible when they got to the levels of how deep Hydra has gotten.
Yeah, hell yeah. That was.
When you see the senator.
Yeah, everybody was just sleeping on Hydra.
When the senator does the Hell Hydra stuff, Hydra. When you see the Hydra soldiers turn on the Shield soldiers and just start gunning them down, like, wow. It became a political thriller. Like, this comic book movie became, like, born supremacy and stuff. I thought that was really, really good. Best fight.
Best fight. Anything in Winter Soldier, bro.
I would say
anything in Winter Soldier, bro.
I'd say the same. I would go.
Damn, that fight on the bridge with him and Bucky.
And this is when he didn't know who Winter
Soldier exactly,
was.
You know, so you know? He was going at it.
Yeah.
He was going at it. Yeah. You see the knife, two, and then he just takes Steve out into the van and
it's not all cut. It's not cut all crazy. You see the punches hitting. It's really, really good. Personal favorite of mine, Ronan. I like his dance battle with Quinn. I thought that was really, really pretty cool.
I'm distracting you, big turd blossom.
Oh, really good. Least favorite villain.
Least favorite villain.
I'm going Ultron or Aldrich.
Ultron.
I'm gonna say Ultron because at least Aldrich almost won. If it wasn't Pepper, if it wasn't for Pepper, Aldrich would have won. He would just killed Tony right there. So I'm gonna go with Aldrich as I'm not gonna go with Aldrich. I'm going to say that Ultron is the worst villain of MCU Phase 2.
I'm going to say...
Forgetting my boys in trouble with Sokovia.
I'm
going to
say... Yeah. No, I'm going to say it was Yellow Jacket. Maybe it's because I didn't see Ant-Man enough, but I'll just
You putting
Yellow
Jacket over Malekith?
Malekith killed Thor's parents, bro.
Frigga. Killed Frigga. Okay. So we got all these villains there. Funny moments of the trilogy. I'll let you go ahead and look at the list of films there. I'll go with Iron Man 3. You know how I know? Because we're connected. I loved all this shit. All the stuff he was giving. All the stuff he was giving that little kid was amazing. It was so really, really funny. I didn't expect to be laughing all that time. Like, yeah, dad's leave. No need to cry about it. Like all that
yeah, matter of fact, the quote was, yeah, dad's leave. No need to be such a pussy about it.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Iron Man 3's got some gold.
But it's basically a comedy, right?
Yeah.
That film. I like all the stuff about making fun of Cap's age with Romanoff. Oh, did you ever kiss a person? Yes, I have. Of course I've kissed. It's not my first kiss. I liked all that stuff. Guardians is
jokes all around.
All that. Stop. Why you keep telling me I should be grateful for not eating me?
I should have let him eat you.
Stop trying to eat me.
Anytime he told me he's going to eat him.
Also, you know, going back to our Valentine's Day episode, it also has that moment of the saving Gamora, you know, with the helmet. I thought that was really, really good. In Guardians. It's all because of love. Rocket. Oh, yeah. Look at us standing around like a bunch of... Yeah, I'm going to go all the way with that one. That was pretty funny. Oh, it's funny moments from Age of Ultron.
I'll go with the
hammer. Everyone trying to lift it.
Yeah. That's cool.
Bruce Banner pretending he's going to be a Hulk.
I thought when Ultron chopped off Homeboy's arm was pretty
like,
funny.
Just kind of like...
Yeah, not all nonchalant, like... Ksh. Well, not even. He called him kind of Starkish anyway.
Quicksilver grabbing the hammer.
Yeah, Quicksilver trying to grab the hammer while he was running.
That was pretty
and then
funny.
That joint just takes a dive and he just goes with it. Yeah. That was funny too.
But like right now, like I'm legit having issues remembering parts of that movie. Have I not seen it enough? Or is it just that split up?
No, I don't think you've seen it enough.
Like, what's a Cap funny moment in that movie?
Language.
Is that one?
Yeah, language.
that's that one.
It starts off with that.
Yeah, that is that one. Yeah. All right, I'll give you that. Good on you for defending that.
Yeah.
Ant-Man, it's all full of funny moments. I'll be fine. I got a college degree, and then it cuts to him in Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, Baskin Robbins.
Baskin Robbins find out? Baskin Robbins always finds out. That was real good.
I completely forgot about that. See, I haven't watched him, man.
No. It was good, though. He was really good on that.
Damn, Baskin Robbins always finds out.
Yeah, Baskin Robbins find out? Oh, yeah, they always find out. That was all really, really good. How you feel about these debuts? Bucky, Falcon, Sharon Carter, Ant-Man, Wasp, Hank Pym. Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Vision, all the Guardians of the Galaxy.
If you was gonna bring more into the fold, it should be in Phase 2.
These are A1.
After you got everybody established during Phase 1 and after Avengers, hell yeah.
But when you realize that none of these people were in Phase 1, it goes to show you, like, Phase 2 really came through with these heavy hitters, with these people that end up becoming irreplaceable. Falcon, Bucky, Ant-Man, Scarlet Witch, Vision, these guys are all big hitters in Infinity War. And they don't even get introduced until this phase. Same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. All of them, you know, they get introduced in this phase. So real good on them for being able to introduce so many heavy hitters in just 6 movies. I'm going to leave off with the last 2 questions. Is Phase 2 better than Phase 1?
Nah.
Whoa. Nah. I dare to argue it is.
Wow.
I'd argue
you know
that
why? I think, to be honest... I think Iron Man 1 and Avengers could hold down Phase 1.
You're not wrong.
To be honest with
you. That's
wrong. How I feel, man.
You're not wrong. Iron Man 1 and Avengers 1 are in my top 3 of all time. So you're not wrong with that. But I would argue that the lows of Phase 1 are lower than the lows of Phase 2.
I think so.
And so average ekes out. Right above. I would say...
Wow, you think Iron Man 2 is that bad?
I think Iron Man 2 is the Ant-Man of that phase. In the sense that if you saw it, you saw it. If you didn't, you didn't.
Right.
And it was good. It was good. You weren't going to write home to anyone about it, but it was all right. And if that's the case, then I put Winter Soldier and Guardians in the Avengers Iron Man slots. I think this is a better Thor. Mm-hmm. I think... Hulk would then go off against.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of really don't. I really don't like the first Cap that much. I mean, I go back.
I don't like it either.
To be honest, I go back to go see the Red Skull more.
But do you like? All right, but you would consider that Cap 1 the worst movie of Phase 1?
Maybe.
It's fine. Yeah. Personal preference.
Yeah, maybe.
For this cast, yeah.
I think so.
Okay, so what would you say would be the second worst? Would be that be Hulk or Thor? Or Iron Man 2?
Hulk.
Hulk. Yeah. So you basically got...
Because they had to go through a transition for that. I mean, which I didn't kind of really like.
So...
Because I had to get used to Mark Ruffalo for a little bit.
I think any of the movies in Phase 2 are better than Hulk and Captain America 1. Hulk 1 and Captain America 1.
I agree.
Is there any film on there that you think is worse than Hulk 1 or Captain America 1?
No.
So then that's my reasoning. Now, I'm not trying to convince you. Okay. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I think that Phase 2 has got some hits on Phase 1, but
I think you may have swayed me to where I think it might be somewhat even depending on when I wake up in the morning.
But we cannot talk lightly. Do not get it twisted. The statement that you made is the most important one. Avengers and Iron Man are near perfect films.
Mm-hmm.
Near perfect films. If Phase 3 is able to give us Civil and Infinity War, it might be greatest phase in history. You're talking Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Black Panther, which has ripped through everything, Doctor Strange, which changed what you can do with special effects, Civil War, Spider-Man Homecoming, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, this phase that we're in now. And we got another one coming after Ant-Man. We're gonna have another phase. They're going to announce the next phase.
Yeah, the next phase. And they said, "Oh man, I'm not ready for that." There's already so much because I've only been prepping myself to go to Infinity War and nothing past that.
That's all Ant-Man. I've tried. You guys see Ant-Man?
No, listen. Listen. Like I have prepared myself nothing for after Infinity War, these whole 10 years has just been straight. Okay, I know all these movies are gonna come out, and I know we gotta get there. How are we gonna get there? I'm strapped in, but I don't know what's after that. I honestly don't kind of care what's after that. I just want to get to Infinity War.
But how amazing it is! How amazing is it to not worry, to trust these people?
And I've never worried. That's the thing. Like, and the thing is that makes it better. I got people that. Not even people that I got probably like one or two people. Well, yeah, one or two characters that probably weren't gonna make it or weren't probably even being thought of while Infinity War was coming.
No, say it.
Spider-Man.
We weren't supposed to have Spider-Man.
We weren't supposed to have Spider-Man.
We weren't supposed to have Spider-Man.
And I've been saying that the most to myself every time I've watched this Infinity War trailer.
There's a world in which Infinity War, when they announced it, they announced it without even having him in mind, bro. Yes, there's a world in which they do Infinity War and there's no
Spider-Man.
There's a world in which they do Civil War with no Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a get, which then leads me to this. That looks like if we can get some X gene in between now and Phase 4, that Phase 4 starts looking a lot like Phase 3.
Sprinkle something.
You know, maybe we get the FF. Maybe we get Doctor Doom. Who knows? But the last question I want to ask you is, when looking at all these films, what do you think Phase 2's overall message was?
Hide your arms, because everyone loses an arm in a phase.
Yes, in every single one of these movies, somebody lost an arm. But I guess, obviously, I'm not expecting a real deep thesis analysis, because I just sprung that question on you. I guess with me looking at it, I would have to say that the message is you can't do everything alone.
Or if you try hard enough, you'll break Joss Whedon.
Yes, if you try hard enough, you'll break Joss Whedon. I'll say you can't do everything alone. Iron Man 3 shows that he couldn't do it without Pepper. Thor, he couldn't do it without Loki. Captain America, he could have done it without people, but he needed Bucky. He wants Bucky. That's somebody he cares about. Same thing with Romanoff. Same thing with Falcon. Falcon just joins the team. Like, he becomes an Avenger by the time at the end of Age of Ultron comes, but in this film, in Civil War, in Winter Soldier, he's just like, that's a guy I jog with, but I'm going to go fight Nazis with him. Not Nazis, but Hydra with him. So that, Guardians of the Galaxy, says it right there in the title, teamwork, right? Like,
yep.
Teamwork. Avengers: Age of Ultron. Even when they're on, you know, even when they're on each other's nerves, they still need each other. And on top of that, they even bring in more people like Scarlet Witch and Vision, and then Ant-Man. You know, X-Con by himself, and he needs Hank Pym. He needs
sometimes
Hope.
You need your peeps.
So I think Phase 2 is about that, the helping hand. And just realizing that while you are powerful on your own, like in Phase 1, I think that's what Phase 1 is about. You're more powerful. We're more powerful together. And just like this podcast is more powerful with all of you guys listening, sharing, commenting.
Let them know.
And if you guys want to do us one more favor, you can go ahead and rate and review this podcast, the Major Issues Podcast, wherever podcasts are found: iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Google us. Google Major Issues Podcast, and we're the first ones to come up. We're talking all the latest and greatest things to come to comic books and comic book media. And if you go to iTunes and find Major Issues, you can go ahead and rate and review us there, because if you're able to, not only do we get a little bit, just a little dose of that pure honesty that we ask of our fans, but you can go ahead and spread the word. You go ahead and you rate us, let's say, 5 stars on iTunes. Next thing you know, when people are looking for comic book podcasts, they look for the 5-star one that just got rated. They find us, and our audience grows. Help us become better podcasters. Help this place become a better podcast. Like, share, subscribe, review. Just give us that feedback that we're looking for, because we're going to be here every single week giving you guys the Major Issues. So make sure that you guys are doing your part there, too. It was great to sit here and review this MCU Phase 2 and the Infinity War trailer. In about 1 month's time, we're in 4 weeks now. 4 weeks until the war. I am ready, but I'm as ready as I can be. I don't think I am fully ready, but I'm definitely as ready as I can be, and I am.
I just keep looking in my head. I just keep looking at my seat in the theater.
I'm also honored. I'm also honored, and I guess we can say that here on this podcast, that we'll be watching it together.
Yes.
Me and my very, very devoted podcast host, Claudius Maximus, will be sitting in the theater together, preferably holding hands, while our heroes live or die
I will be sitting between you and my fiance, so that I will need all the support I can get, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't wait.
I've been waiting 10 years.
Let us know, though, how you guys felt about this podcast, how you guys are feeling about Infinity War, what's going on in your stomach, how you feel about MCU Phase 1. You can do that by writing us an email at comicbookclick@gmail.com. That's comicbookclick@gmail.com. And to look at all the things that we do at Comic Book Click, including this podcast, memes, crash course videos. We're doing all kinds of things at Comic Book Click. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/comicbookclick, Instagram @comicbookclick, and use the hashtag comicbookclick to talk about all the newest, hottest, and latest and greatest things to come to comic books and comic book media. We're all over, and guess what? Guess what? What's today? The day that we're recording this on is the 20th of March. It'll be coming out tomorrow on the 21st. But guess what? Guess what April 20th is? 2-year anniversary of Comic Book Click. So we're coming up on our birthday. So tell us happy birthday. Swing by facebook.com/comicbookclick. And just tell us something nice.
Blow out the candles with us.
Send us a message. Do whatever you can to let us know that you are there. My name is George Serrano, a.k.a. The Don. This has been a MCU Phase 2 and Infinity War trailer review.
I am Claudius Maximus.
And this has been Major Issues. We have got some major issues. But whether you're in Phase 1, Phase 2, or Phase 3, whether you are Tony Stark or the Hulk, whether you are an Asgardian god, an assassin, or you're being brainwashed by Hydra, remember that come April 28th,
you
are
worthy.